Biologists are very, very interested in looking at the biology on islands, because islands provide these like perfect laboratories, natural laboratories, where you've got a very well-defined boundaries and often a relatively limited number of variables. So these areas have attracted biologists to study a variety of processes to try and understand basically how the planet sort of works. A lot of the ideas from island biology were developed by Charles Darwin and Alfred Russel Wallace in the 1800s.
So why islands in particular? Why are they worth studying?
Well, because they're relatively simple systems. Unlike a large continent, they've got very, very nicely defined boundaries. And often you get a relatively limited number of animals. Certainly the animals which walk, the things like the amphibians and some of the reptiles and the land mammals. So these barriers, these marine barriers, are very, very difficult for organisms to cross. But they do cross them. And in fact, we know from the record from Madagascar that the lemurs, there's about almost 100 species of lemur, but they were all derived from a common ancestor which derived between about 60 and about 50 million years ago. And there are other examples, like the organisms on Galapagos. There's a whole series of reptiles which are present. And they journeyed across from South America relatively recently, but they've now established communities on various islands. And then they've subsequently diverged from the mainland population, so they're very distinctive species.
So then, from your examples, I can tell this is going to be a talk about evolutionary relationships and genetics and relations between different species, I guess.
Yeah, well, what we're trying to do is try to understand this, the biology from a sort of total system. So instead of just looking at the biology itself, let's look at all the different forces which are operating on those organisms.
Like what exactly? Like what factors would affect a lot of it, I guess.
Yeah, there's loads. I mean, basically we've got, for one classical situation is that sea level has changed dramatically over the last 20,000 years and has done for the past few million years. So just 20,000 years ago, sea level was about 125 metres lower than present. The edge of southern China would have been about 200 kilometres away, not down at Repulse Bay. So this means that some islands, like in the instance of Taiwan would have been fully connected to the mainland. And so organisms would have been easily able to walk into Taiwan, the Taiwan area. And then they've subsequently colonized that. And then later, when the sea levels have risen, then the organisms have been isolated. And some of them are now starting to diverge. So they're actually going off on their own evolutionary pathways relative to the organisms on the mainland.
But I can tell there will be a lot of variables in this, because you have different kinds of animals. Some can fly. I wonder if you can only take into account those that can walk on their feet?
They're the easiest ones for me. What I don't really want to be doing is looking at organisms which are coming in and out of an island system, because they complicate it. I want to look at, I'm really interested in the organisms which are physically tied to the land surface.
Like what?
Well, if we take the amphibians really are saltwater intolerant. So very occasionally one will cross an ocean or a large expanse of marine water, but in general it kills them. Mammals have got very, very restricted physiological conditions. So if a mammal gets cold for any length of time, it will die. Reptiles are a little bit better at crossing these boundaries because they're very, very hardy. And, they're probably the best colonizers of islands of the three.
But this talk, though, is it focusing on Hong Kong islands in particular?
No, this is general. So are we talking about island systems from down in Madagascar, the Seychelles? Because these are classic examples. Taiwan's a really interesting one. Hainan Island as well, just to the west of us, provides some useful information.
Can you sum it up for us? If we go to your talk, what can we expect there? What will be covered?
I'm hoping to blow you away and people think, well, that's really quite a clever little idea that enables us to now. We can take an island which has got huge numbers of organisms and we can literally turn it into a telephone number style code, or turn it into a very simple graph that immediately tells you something very, very informative. The other thing about this is, well, it's got great potential for conservation initiatives, because some of the islands actually have very, very interesting, effectively spectra, this number sequence. So if you go to places like New Caledonia or the Seychelles, as soon as you're aware about how this coding system works, you go, wow, that's a really cool biological assemblage. And it makes you then it gives you some reason to want to protect it. It's an extra level. You can sort of say, we need to protect this particular area, because if we were to try, effectively it's taken 60 million years to make the Seychelles.
anyone can attend. Basically, anyone who is interested in animals.
Well, it's difficult on radio because I've got the props. I'm able to use visuals to try and explain various things. But I'd like to try and pitch the talk so that my father could understand it. Mm. I always try and aim it that way because basically if your dad gets it, then most people do. Well, he's not around anymore, but he passed away a little while ago. But basically the idea is always in the back of my mind, put something together so that anybody or most people can understand things.
Mm-hmm. What about the details of the talk? Gert and Maria, can you comment on that? The date and the time and the venue and how to sign up.
So it will be on the 27th of April in PMQ in Central and at the Maker Bay area there. And if people want to sign up, the easiest is to find the event page on Facebook, DIY Bio Hong Kong.
Okay, so that's DIYBIO and then Hong Kong. And then you'll be able to get to the Facebook page and find the link and sign up there.
It will start at 7 until about 8:30.
DIY Bio. I just found out that it's actually a global movement. And Gert and Maria, you guys have met through a meetup online. So take us back to the first day you started this.
I want to do some more biology. You know, my background is in biology and in Hong Kong, I didn't know anybody else interested in biology, so I decided to put a meetup online and to get people together who are all interested in biology. So our first meeting was in a coffee shop, and we got together and we talked about biology and what we wanted to do. We were lucky enough to have met people from Maker Bay, and they invited us to start a little laboratory in Maker Bay. So we're building a community, a bio lab, where people can come and do biology and learn about biology. And we're the first and only community biology lab in Hong Kong at the moment.
Yes. Yeah. And I've been trying to locate you guys. So DIY Bio is basically a group of scientists or just people interested in biology. And you guys are trying to bring about more community involvement so that people can do more research related to biology.
Yeah.
How are you doing this? I know that you organize a lot of events, talks and stuff. Tell us more about it. How are you trying to bring about more community involvement and why is that important?
Okay. First, we have a citizen science project. It's called a Barcode Hong Kong Project. We invite people to go out to collect specimen samples and take it to the lab to get a barcode of that species so that we can identify which animals, insects, or plants that can find in Hong Kong. Why we're doing that is because we want to build a database and map the biodiversity in Hong Kong. You can map biodiversity in Hong Kong so that it may be a good reference for city planning. We invite the citizens to do it together with us. And at the same time, they can learn about some basic laboratory skills in our lab. And then later on, they can have their innovative ideas and projects.
So we meet once a week to get together and talk and plan things about biology. And then we have monthly talks where the Let's Talk Bio series, where you invite different speakers. And this time we're lucky enough to have Dr. Jason Ali to come and give a talk. And those talks are open to the public and it's on many different topics, so where people can come and learn different interesting things in biology. Mm-hmm. But also the one thing that I've realized is that a lot of my students, you know, many people live in high-rise buildings and Hong Kong has a lot of biodiversity around us. So it's really important to get people out there and so that they can actually take ownership of biology. And if people take ownership of biodiversity, then they will care about things and then conservation can really happen.
If people are interested in becoming citizen scientists, how can they find you guys? So the same Facebook page, we go to DIY Bio Hong Kong and search for those words on Facebook and we will be able to find you guys.
You will find us on Facebook, also on Meetup.
Come to our weekly meeting every Thursday at 7 p.m. at our community lab at Yao Tong.